Good afternoon and welcome to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy, a monthly program designed to bring you timely information on various energy topics of interest to Cape Cod. We've used this program over the last 5 years to try to keep you up to date on the initiatives of the Cape Light Compact, which is part of the Barnstable County government. We also serve Martha's Vineyard under an agreement with Dukes County. I'm John Burns, your host, a retired energy efficiency program planner at the Cape Light Compact, which is located in the Superior Courthouse in Barnstable. Kevin Galligan recently retired from full-time employment at the Cape Light Compact after 10 years of service, and we thought it would be a good idea to sit down with him, talk about his tenure, and what the future has in store for him. Kevin leaves a lasting imprint on the Cape Light Compact and, by extension, the Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard communities. So, Kevin, you've recently retired from the Cape Light Compact after 10 years, I believe, with
the
organization. Can you take us back to when you first were hired by the Cape Light Compact and perhaps even talk a little bit about what the Cape Light Compact is? I know we've talked about this over and over and over again, and we just assume that everybody in the listening audience knows who we are, but they may not. So let's just a quick overview of what the Cape Light Compact is, and then we're going to get into the role that you played in the early stages of the compact. So, nutshell, what is the Cape Light Compact?
The Cape Light Compact is us in terms of all the towns, ratepayers of Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard that formed this entity back in 1999, 2000, and it was as a result of the opportunity presented to us through the 1997 Massachusetts Electric Utility Restructuring Act. The legislature, in their infinite wisdom, with lots of input from folks, felt that the bundled world of delivering electricity in the marketplace was better if you broke that market up into its different functional areas, such that generation specifically was unbundled,
as you know, power plants.
And then gives the opportunity for consumers to choose their power supply. But the important thing from my role at the Compact was the administration of the energy efficiency programs, where prior to the Restructuring Act, you didn't have the opportunity to administer these funds locally. You were always, as a customer, paying into the fund in a certain amount every month on your bill, which isn't a lot, but it does add up when you add all the ratepayers together. But those were primarily administered just by the utilities.
Right.
And we're in a unique spot on the Cape, and all the way back to those early years where some local leaders, in particular the county commissioners, also representative at the time, Matt Patrick, said, we want these funds to be administered and accountable locally.
And to stay on the Cape.
Exactly.
In other words, we were essentially sending millions of dollars
over the bridge,
and they weren't finding their way back here.
Right. Or not knowing if it was coming back.
Not being able to account for them properly. So, when you say the Cape Light Compact is us, we're every town has representatives. The Board of Selectmen appoint representatives to govern the Cape Light Compact. So essentially, we are the Cape Light Compact is, and I have a hard time not saying we anymore because I'm also retired. But I'll always be a member. I will always be a member of the Cape Light Compact. So I guess it always is we. The boards of selectmen appoint representatives to the governing board, and the governing board oversees the operations of the Cape Light Compact, and we are essentially a government operation.
We're the public, and it's really, in terms of looking back over the 10-plus years, I would honestly say, having 20 years experience in the private sector, moving to the public sector as I have, it's incredibly enjoyable from a standpoint of leaving work every day, going past businesses, shops, people's homes that you know you've served, and they're pleased with our services. I have heard customers, on the phone, write us letters, send us emails and notes with so much gratitude for the work we've done. And honest to God, it is not about the pay when it comes to government service, because I think, as you know, public entities don't pay anywhere near or have the benefits as far as bonuses like a private entity does, but the rewards especially in this.
A lot of psychological reward.
The service aspect of it is, incredibly rewarding.
Now, you came on board in January of 2002, and I do want to talk about that, but I want to move back into your private sector experience and what it is that brought you here. So, January 2002, you came on board for what?
To be the Energy Efficiency Program Manager, working for the Compact's administrator over the energy efficiency programs.
Okay, and that's both residential and commercial.
Residential, commercial, the low income, those are the three sectors that the program services are directed toward. And at that time, it was a very small entity. We had some very good consultants, actually one locally, who was very instrumental in helping set up the compact logistically with the board's direction.
Because that in itself was quite a complex undertaking.
It was. Yeah. And I just want to mention Scott Ridley's name because he was so helpful in terms of following, the nuances of wording in legislation and helping Maggie Downey, the administrator then and now, really get out to the public what we were proposing to do, because all of the towns through town meeting, and in my little town in Orleans, we went to town meeting and we read, tons of pages that were in the warrant of what this entity is all about. Frankly, probably most people didn't understand it, but there were a few people that said, these are good people and, good enough that they gave us a chance, because we've been an incredibly successful organization. I mean, I cannot say, in terms of my reading of literature and effectiveness of programs across the country, there is none like the Cape Light Compact.
Right. So what I'm going to go into now, and I know this is going to be difficult because you're one of the most modest people I know, so I'm not going to allow you to be too modest. You came here with some pretty strong credentials. 20 years experience in the energy industry, and let's talk a little bit about that. Plus, you have a rather unique educational background, and I want to talk about all of that. So let's talk about what do you have your degrees in?
I have an MBA from UMass Dartmouth. It was formerly called Southeastern Mass University, SMU. I still always call it that, but I also have a Bachelor of Science in Mechanical Engineering Technology from Northeastern University. And to put me through my first degree, to actually make a little money and pay tuition, I got my BS in accounting from UMass Dartmouth.
So accounting, engineering, and business management.
It works.
It does work. It works. I can attest to the fact that it worked rather well. But 20 years experience basically in the energy industry. Who did you work for, and what brought you to the Cape?
I worked with the entity that's called today Spectra Energy.
Okay.
It's the interstate pipeline system that pretty much moves natural gas from all the major supply basins in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, they were part of Duke Energy. They were a spinoff. And prior to that, they were locally known out of Boston as the Algonquin Gas Transmission Company.
And what did you do for them?
I did a number of things. I literally started as a computer programmer analyst, overseeing the data acquisition system that monitors the pipeline pressures and flows, billing efforts, and this goes back a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
So highly computerized operation, but also very interconnected as far as facilities with engineering, that was my love. So thanks to Duke Energy at the time, they allowed me to get my degree at Northeastern, and then I moved into engineering.
Okay.
And the last many years at Duke, now Spectra, was the role of engineering project manager over many of the pipeline projects that are active and in service today in New England.
So you actually were involved in the installation of many of these pipelines. And
I go by them, and we all go by them, and whether we realize it or not, you drive over them or on the byways every day.
And fair to say that New England is very, very heavily reliant on what you did in those 20 years up to this point.
And, who would have known the infrastructure that was being thought of and commitments, large commitments being made by both customers, like at the time Boston Gas and Colonial Gas, made to that infrastructure, because without those customers, we wouldn't have built the pipelines.
Right.
But you look at the benefits of low natural gas prices today, the access to all these supply sources. I think the United States in total, in New England, is very beneficial from the standpoint of those folks. And there were some very smart people that I work with that said, we can do this. Mm-hmm. There was the right return on equity. There was the right motivation. There was really a perfect alignment of things that I think are making our country stronger each day because of that. You know, people talk about other countries that are developing liquefied natural gas, for example. Well, you may develop a refinery or a terminal that can produce gas, but can you get it to market?
Right.
And we can.
Mm-hmm. And so you come from a high-powered job at Duke Energy to a little entity on Cape Cod called the Cape Light Compact. At the time, kind of a seed of an idea, some very dedicated volunteers. And as you said, a very accomplished consultant that put the entity together. But still, you were going from a huge operation to something quite tiny by comparison. And yet you were motivated to do that. And so tell us about that transition.
I literally can remember the day. It was a Sunday morning. I usually watch the Sunday morning news programs and reading the ad, and I'm reading it saying, you know, they're looking for engineering background, they're looking for someone to, you know, take over and operate the energy efficiency programs with these expertise. I had been following both the Restructuring Act and the Cape Light Compact through its formative stages, and I literally said to my partner, Vince, I said, I can do this, and applied for the job, and it really was a moment of knowing my age as I was moving on and in terms of years and needing to turn the chapter. And I was really intrigued by the public service nature of it as opposed to the incredible rewards that can be achieved in the private sector, but those come with a lot of
stress,
long days, and frankly, a lot of sleepless nights because you are worrying about, you know, some very significant capital projects that you must bring in on time, on budget, and all that. I'm not saying at the Compact we don't respect and do those because we do it very well, but it was really a much more ability for me to stay local. I wasn't traveling all over the New England landscape. And I was really able to contribute more to my community.
I've often said, because I worked for the Cape Light Compact along with you for many years, and I've often said is, I get to live on Cape Cod. There's a lot to be said for I get to live on Cape Cod. And
high five that. Agree.
And so that brings us to the Cape. We've gotten you to the Cape Light Compact. You applied for the job. Who hired you? What was the process?
Well, it was a team approach. I can remember board members, Bob Mahoney, Barry Wirth.
People that have put tremendous amount of efforts into the.
And I mean they had this baby that they wanted to see grow. Yeah. And I can remember the interview questions. They were really testing me as well as the other applicants. Can you be the person that helps take this organization to where we have envisioned it? Because they had the vision. And that's one thing over 10 years, and I know it'll continue, is crystal clear. You know, the mission is advocate for our consumers, provide the best power supply you can possibly do, and administer these energy efficiency programs to bring local benefits. And it's so clear. And you could tell through the interview they were, you know, striving to be sure that I was the one that would do that. I was so pleased to get the notice that I was going to be hired, and I worked out a transition plan with, you know, my VP at Duke, and handed off projects that I had going so that they were in good shape. And January 2002 seems still like it was yesterday. It's gone
by. It did go by very fast, didn't it? Yeah. I wonder what that says for us. Because we both have rather white hair. You've got a little more than I do, maybe not much. But
a lot got accomplished in 10 years.
It did. It really did. And it started off as a fairly small, fairly modest initiative, and has grown to something rather large. And let's talk about what it has grown to. It started off with you. Basically, Maggie was the administrator.
She still is
the administrator. So Maggie Downey And then you were the second employee mm-hmm. For the Cape Light Compact, and you were the kind of the technical part of the operation. And so let's talk about what was going on then versus what's going on now.
Well, what was going on then was, starting from the funding source and budget, we were really funding limited by statute to have this mill charge that's on the customer's bill.
And a mill charge is a tiny fraction of a cent.
Tenth of a cent or whatever. Yeah. It's literally 0.0025 cents that you mm-hmm. can still see today on your electric bill, called the energy conservation line or surcharge.
Right.
And that contributes today part of the funds we had. But back then, that was the only funding we had.
Right.
So we really were in a mode of knowing we had this pent-up demand for these services on the Cape, mm-hmm. but frankly, some limited budget. So it was more of managing our budget. And we knew we could blow through the budget in no time at all, but we had to be mindful of allocating in a way that was proportional to the way folks contributed. And
right.
that's one thing that's unique to the compact, is we actually do account on a town-by-town basis how people pay into the fund, and we were really mindful of at least guiding the delivery of the programs in such a way that those services got returned in the way that they were paid. So $5 million then, fast forward to today, the budget today, because of other funding sources, mm-hmm. is about $26
million. $26
million.
So it's grown from $5 million to $26 million in a 10-year period.
Yeah.
It's no longer just you and Maggie.
No.
It's how many employees are
there? It's a very capable staff of, I believe, in excess of 14 positions.
Okay. And they're administering these programs. And let's talk about what you mentioned there were three programs, residential, commercial, and a low-income program. So let's talk about how things work there.
Yeah, well, the way things work now, because it's important that people know the old days where the compact was really responsible for all of its regulatory filings, its community outreach, its marketing and education, was really its own responsibility. And the approvals were filed with and granted by the Department of Public Utilities in Boston. But that changed in mm-hmm. 2009, was the first filing of the first statewide energy efficiency plan.
Okay.
That has lasted very well for the past 3 years, 2010, 11, and 12. But that truly is a collaborative process now, with the Cape Light Compact working side by side with National Grid and Star Electric, the gas companies, so that we file with the state one master document that then we implement as consistently as possible at a local level. So there's a much bigger regulatory vehicle.
And it's become much more structured since...
It has, to some extent. Yes.
You're listening to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy. Guest today is Kevin Galligan, a recently retired energy efficiency program manager at the Cape Light Compact, and still has a few functions that he returns to on a part-time basis. But and we're talking about the kind of the evolution of the Cape Light Compact, and Kevin certainly was there at the very beginning and is telling us about how we were then and what we're doing now. So there were three distinct programs, residential, commercial, low income. Let's talk about the three programs and what it is. What as a residential homeowner, what do I get for the amount of money that comes out of my electric bill to pay for this?
The hope is that you realize that you get certainly the opportunity to participate in mm-hmm. all the programs, whether they be home energy assessments, weatherization upgrades, meaning more insulation in your home, better improvements as far as air sealing, basically improving your comfort and lowering your energy bills. But the other thing for folks that might be listening that have never participated, or say, I don't know if there's any benefit, even if you do not participate directly, like if you've never gotten a refrigerator rebate,
Or a light bulb, or whatever.
If all of your neighbors participate and lower the cost of electricity coming down your street or the need for it, you benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a great concept that is working each and every day to improve the system, the electric system. Because believe it or not, as we use and plug more and more things in, you're actually putting demands on the power grid that are nice to offset by people using less.
Right.
Because then you're avoiding the investment in a new power plant or more power lines and, you know, some things that look kind of ugly.
Right, exactly. And siting power plants nowadays is not easy, not easy at all. Okay, so then the low-income program, which is somewhat similar to the residential program, but a little, the funding is a little richer.
It is, and the best way to look at it is it's all the programs, services that the residential customers get, because low-income customers are also residential customers, with some enhancements. Mm-hmm. And the enhancement is to recognize that when that low-income customer, and that's defined, again, by statute, at 60% of median statewide income.
Okay.
So if your household income, and it varies depending on family size, meets or is below a level, pretty much all the program services you're eligible for are provided at no cost.
All free.
And it's because that electric bill or that gas bill that shows up at your, you know, doorstep every month is a big burden.
It is.
So we want to see, and the state and legislators have always recognized that there's special services needed for these folks. And in fact, if we can make them more productive, more comfortable, healthier, better ability to pay their
bills.
And
as you say, anybody that uses this actually impacts everybody. It actually impacts everybody, because if we reduce the demands we make on the system, it's fewer power plants that we have to make. And my understanding is, and I just heard this, I don't know, maybe you can tell me, that we haven't built a power plant in New England in the last 5 years. Is that correct? Or at least not a new one. We perhaps may have replaced some. Or
let me give you the right answer.
Okay.
I'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
But I think you'd have to look at, you know, the length of time it takes to permit and build one. So I think you're probably right. And in fact, the permitting cycle and fundraising and everything takes in excess of 10 years for new power plants. So if we have a spike in demand, say next summer, ISO New England is going to say, you know, we need capacity.
Right.
And you don't just pop one of these things in.
That's
like
correct.
You plug a microwave oven in.
But the state's initiative has been, when the spikes in demand are there, we're going to first try to address it through energy efficiency rather than building new power plants and
energy efficiency, right? Or also technically it's called demand reduction.
Okay.
Because you can use less energy, which benefits you on a daily, monthly basis, lowering your bill. But there's also that whole capacity issue of reducing that peak demand.
Okay.
So if you can avoid or use air conditioning that saves power on the grid or uses less load, and more people do that every day, which we're fortunate to be in an environment where people recognize these benefits, it's a good thing. We've definitely seen incredible participation in the Cape Light Compact programs. You do hear a few ads here and there, but we don't do, nor have we had to do, a lot of marketing, because word of mouth, you participating in energy assessment, you tell your neighbor across the street, they might see the truck that has the lettering on it, say, oh, who is that? And it's like people do want to participate.
And if you want to participate, this is a good time to jump in with the 800 number.
It's 800-797-6699.
So if you want to participate, 800-797-6699, call up, tell them you'd like to participate in the Cape Light Compact's energy efficiency programs. And there's lots of financial incentives for you to enjoy. You're gonna get assistance with the energy efficiency, and you're gonna lower your electric bills.
And when you call, you'll probably be talking to someone you know. We're all local people. We work and live here, and you're not calling, you know, some call center in some other parts of the world.
Good point. Excellent point. We're getting a little tight on time, and there's a number of things I want to try to touch on. I want to talk about the. You are an instructor at the Four C's. You do an energy efficiency and conservation class. Tell me quickly about that, and I also want to talk about what you're doing as a part-time status.
Sure. The community college has been a great advocate for being out front in terms of workforce development support. Many years ago, Mary Jane Curran, who is the coordinator in environmental technology, saw the opportunity to pull together folks in the tech schools and colleges and other advocates to say, let's develop a curriculum. We got National Science Foundation funding, and there are certificate programs for solar thermal, photovoltaic, small wind, and my energy efficiency course fits into each one of those.
And you teach that once a year.
Currently in the fall, although the college has asked me to consider more, but if we have enrollment, we'll see what we do. It's okay. A lot of fun.
So if you're interested in learning a lot more about energy efficiency from a real expert in the field, you sign up for the energy efficiency course at the Four Seasons, and you've got one starting up in the fall.
Next week.
Yeah, in the fall. So let's touch on, we talked about avoiding having to build power plants and infrastructure by going to energy efficiency. It creates a market called the forward capacity market. You are actually going to stay on with the Cape Light Compact in a part-time process to deal with that very, very complex, hard to hand off to somebody. So we're very grateful that you decided you would actually take some time and continue on with that. So talk about that, if you would.
Well, the grid, meaning all of New England, is pretty much overseen as far as its infrastructure, as far as transmission, power plants, how they all communicate and meet the load needs on a minute-by-minute basis throughout New England by ISO New England. ISO New England also forecasts in their best guesstimate, using statistical methods and whatnot, what they foresee the future needs for capacity based upon recessions, based upon plants that may go offline, retire, or new projects that they're aware of in the pipeline. And they put this information out to the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
The marketplace used to just be transmission line builders and right. the typical nuclear fossil power plants.
Mm-hmm.
But the world is open to allow energy efficiency programs that do in fact reduce demand to be a player. So okay. we put forth our capacity, we call it, when a customer has put in 100 light bulbs or a large business, when you know we aggregate all of the savings through those demand reductions, we can calculate what that peak reduction is. And as of just last month, we are looking at being a little power plant,
mm-hmm.
meaning saving energy of demand of over 13 megawatts.
Wow. So and you're bringing additional revenues to the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we bid into the ISO New England forward capacity market. We have to get qualified. They go through a rigorous process of ensuring that what we're representing mm-hmm. is being installed is, so that we're not faking it. And
right.
they have a very rigorous process.
Mm-hmm.
And then each and every month, we need to account for
right.
those measures that are installed so that they do verify that we've met all of their statistical sampling requirements and verification requirements. It's a rigorous process, but frankly, it just requires a little attention to reading,
mm-hmm.
Follow up on their training seminars, which they offer
right.
through webinars, and looking after some details. But it's brought in on the order of $60,000 to $70,000 a month of additional
wow.
revenue that we can directly put back into services.
Well, I certainly am glad that you didn't fully retire then. If you're bringing in $60,000 to $70,000 a month, I mean, that is just awesome. Unfortunately, our time is up. I want to thank you very much. I want to thank you for the service that you gave to the Cape Light Compact. And thank you very much for sitting down for this interview. I had a hard time, folks. I had a hard time getting him to agree to do this. And Kevin, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy, timely topics on energy matters of interest to the Cape Cod community. If you have questions or topics you'd like us to discuss in the future, you can email us at focus@capelightcompact.org or call 1-800-797-6699 and let us know. You can also visit our website at www.capelightcompact.org. I'd like to thank my guest, Kevin Galligan, a recently retired energy efficiency program manager at the Cape Light Compact. I'd also like to thank our engineer, John Braden, the station operations manager, for his good work in getting the program out to you. Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy is broadcast from the historic schoolhouse in Provincetown, WOMR 92.1, and in Orleans, WFMR 93.1 on your FM dial. It's also streamed on the World Wide Web at www.womr.org. I'm your host, John Burns. Thank you very much for listening. Please join us again next month, same time, same stations, and remember, use energy wisely. It's a precious and increasingly scarce resource.